Some people weren't here. My name is Michael Lombardo. It's good to see you guys again. This is a beautiful church, am I right? Are you guys awake right now? This is a beautiful church. You have wonderful pastors. I rejoice with them and their new little baby. Isn't that amazing? That testimony. Jesus is so faithful to his promises. He is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. When he promises something, he is good on his promises. So if you saw a little girl dancing up there, did anybody see her? Try not to be too much of a distraction, but she is. She feels freedom in here. There's some churches she goes to, she's scared to walk around because she knows she's not welcome to walk around, but she came in here and she immediately started running. So she felt the freedom and she felt the love, and she'll take this microphone from me if we'll let her. We just had a conference. We just threw it. There she is, right there. She go, Jesus. How do they do, Jesus? Her name is Selah Gloria, by the way. Her name can preach. So Jesus said, let the little children come, right? In Mozambique, amen. In Mozambique, the little kids are running around everywhere screaming, and the preachers, Heidi Baker and all, Roland and everybody, they just kept on going. It didn't matter. There'd be little kids pulling at Heidi Baker's shirt and everybody's shirt, but they just, Heidi was just, let them come, let them play, let them be in this atmosphere. And so anyway, I love that. Oh, man. So we just had a conference in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Our ministry is called Life Poured Out International because he poured out his life for us. And now we get to pour out our lives in this world. That was our heart when God spoke to us about the name of that ministry. So, but we have a heart for Perth Amboy. Anybody familiar with Perth Amboy? It's not too far from here. Little inner city area, poverty, drugs, but their hearts are open and they are hungry. And the mayor is a believer in Christ. And it actually came out of her mouth. She said, I want to see revival in the city of Perth Amboy. And she has opened up the doors to our church, Faith Fellowship Ministries, and also to our ministry. And we've been doing outreaches weekly. It's been a little hard in the winter because some Saturdays it snowed or it was like really bad. But we were going out on the streets, just loving people, just praying for the sick, seeing people delivered, saved, healed, just right there on the streets of Perth Amboy. And we do a monthly worship gathering where, you know, we believe, you know, in praying and interceding. We believe that's important. But we also believe in going out and preaching the gospel like Jesus told us to, right? So when I read the Bible and when I, you know, read about moves of God in the past, the recipe that I see is that people came together, they were hungry, they came together, they prayed, they interceded, but then they actually left the four walls of wherever they gathered and they went out and they did something and they shared the good news. So that's our heart. So we want to do outreach in the city of Perth Amboy as well as everywhere we go, but then also we host a worship gathering there every month. And it's just been amazing, just prophesying, just praying over the city, over our whole entire region, that there'd be just a spread of God's power, his love, his life, that the church would be awakened, number one, because the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:14, awake, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He spoke that to believers, not unbelievers. So the church, we need to wake up. We need to wake up to the truth. There's areas of our life where we're just shining with light, and there's other areas the Lord wants to breathe on. He wants to speak into, and he wants to open our eyes in certain areas. So anyway, we just had a conference, Immerse Conference, and I had no clue how it was going to go. I don't know if 10 people were going to show up or if 150 people were going to show up. But we had a church, Shekinah Church, beautiful pastor in Perth Amboy, a Portuguese ministry. They opened up their church for us, and there fit about 150 people in there. And by the night service, it was packed out with hungry people. I was so overwhelmed by the goodness of God because we had no agenda. We don't want an agenda besides Holy Spirit. We're just creating a space for you to just come and invade and transform lives. And that's all it was. And people were crying, weeping, being touched, prophesied over, prayed over. We had Kathy Bixel, an amazing woman of God. She's a prophetess and a friend of mine from Pennsylvania. I just knew that they flowed with the Holy Spirit and they had nothing else on their heart except that. And anyway, we're just seeing God do incredible things. And I just sense the presence of God so strong here in this place, in this church. I had no clue that you guys were fasting. I didn't really, you know, your pastor, he told me, and I knew that you guys were having speakers come in here frequently. Jonathan actually came to the conference. He was there and he enjoyed a few sessions. I'm planning on sitting down with him. I love his heart, him and his wife and everything that they're doing. And but he was there. But anyway, I just sense there's like a fire and electricity. It's kind of, I came here with a word, and I'm going to give you that word, just what God put on my heart. But then I was getting something, just a prophetic download during worship, and it really is, it's going to go into the ministry time. So I'm going to hold off on that, and then we're going to get into some ministry here, because the Holy Spirit wants to have his way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He wants to fill us, immerse us in his presence and in his glory. And I'm just going to do a quick commercial, and then I'm going to get right to the word, just because people always ask me, okay, so what is this and what is that you have on the resource table? Always like to bring stuff so people, you hear someone speak for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and then that's it. Or you could bring a resource home, and you could take it, you could read it, you can devour it at your own time. You've got something you can give to other people to really help throw fuel on the fire. So we have my book, Immersed in His Glory, all about experiencing God's presence. How many people want to experience God's presence in their life in a greater degree, in a greater way? Hear his voice. We have access to him 24/7 because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. There is no separation between us and him, but often there feels like there's a separation in our lives. We feel dry. We feel burnt out. We feel like God's light years away, but he wants to break down every mental barrier, because he already broke down every spiritual barrier in Jesus Christ. So he wants to break down the doubt and the unbelief, and he wants to infuse us with hunger. And this is something cool that I just started doing. It's actually a USB drive, and it's got over 5 hours of teaching on the Holy Spirit in there. So you could put it in your computer. If you have a new car, you know, you could put in the USB drive, you could listen to it right in your car. The cool thing about this is you could actually give it to like 3 or 4 people, because there's no limitations to how many computers you could dump it in, which is really awesome. So I talk about inner healing from a new covenant perspective, friendship with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, hearing God. There's just a lot of teaching on there. So anyway, you can go. We take credit cards, checks, all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to be in the back to pray for you guys, to say hi, and I'll be the one back there if you want something. But let's get into prayer. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We just honor you here in this place. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your ministry, Holy Spirit. You are more than welcome. I just pray that every single heart in this place would be open, would be fertile soil in Jesus' name to receive the implanted word of God here today. I just thank you for just a downpour of your grace, that we would just receive your grace here today. And even just by faith, if we could just put our hands out just like in a posture of receiving, I just feel like he's just going to pour out grace. So just say, I receive your grace, Daddy. I receive the word that you have for me today, Father. I receive everything that you have for me today. I do not hold back. I do not harden my heart in unbelief, but I say, Jesus, just have your way. Speak to me whatever you want to speak, Daddy. We just love you, and we honor you. We glorify you in this place. We praise you. Your praise will continually be upon our lips. May the humble hear it and rejoice. We just, everything for you, Lord. We don't hold anything back. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you're amazing pastors. I didn't know that you guys were fasting, but the Lord gave me a word on spiritual hunger. Anybody say I'm kind of hungry right now in the physical? I'm a little bit hungry this morning, but you guys got 3 days left. Amen. And I'm believing God for incredible breakthroughs in every single one of your lives. Breakthrough for you and also for those around you, family, friends. You're believing God for maybe your neighborhood. You're believing God for your children, your children's children. You're believing God to make more of an impact wherever you are, in school or wherever you guys may be. And that's exciting. But I want to talk to you about spiritual hunger because, okay, I know you guys believe in spiritual hunger. How many believe that we're supposed to still hunger in the new covenant? You guys believe that? All right, well, you may be introduced to a teaching that is out there that's circulating, and it's really popular, that in the new covenant now, because Jesus died and we've been fed, there's no more spiritual hunger. There's no reason for us to be hungry anymore. I've heard this taught, and you guys will probably hear it taught at one point or another. It's a popular teaching now that kind of came in with the grace wave, and I believe radically in the grace of God. I'm an avid believer and a preacher of the grace of God. How could you not be if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? But obviously with a wave of teaching and revelation, there's people that bring it to an unhealthy extreme, right? So there's people teaching, we don't need the hunger for God anymore because we already tasted. He's filled us. We're already satisfied. Or people will say, you don't need to seek God anymore. He sought you. Or we don't need to pursue God anymore. He pursued us. Right? So, and they give you three or four scriptures that make it sound really nice. Right? They make it sound really good. Oh, yeah, there are two or three scriptures that kind of sound like it alludes to that. But they leave out the full counsel of God's word. Right? And I want the full counsel of God's word. I don't want just two scriptures and your ideas or your opinions about it. I want to see what God's word says in its entirety. Amen? I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be blown to and fro because of every wind of doctrine, right? So this is just my introduction, because this is something I've seen, and I've also seen very negative, bad fruit that's come from it. A passivity, a contentment that isn't godly, because we know we believe in godly contentment, thankfulness, gratefulness for what God's done in our lives, but an unhealthy contentment where we're not even after the things of God anymore. And that's what happens. But there's a beautiful scripture out of the Passion Translation. Anyone ever heard of the Passion Translation? Dr. Brian Simmons, if you guys haven't picked it up, just look it up on Facebook or social media, or just grab a copy of it because it's amazing. I'm going to read to you Luke 6:21 out of the Passion Translation. So I'm going to read it right to you. It might not sound like it does in your Bible if you have like an NASB or New King James, but it's right on. I just love the language that he uses. So it goes like this: how filled you become when you're consumed with hunger and desire, for you will be completely satisfied. Wow, that's good. Actually, if you want a taste of the Passion Translation, you can go to BibleGateway.com, and they have it on there now. So you can try it out and see if you like it, but it's really amazing. I'm going to read this one more time. How filled you become when you are consumed with hunger and desire, for you will be completely satisfied. Luke 6:21. I love that. Oh, man, I love that. And you know what? Some of these guys who are preaching, you don't need the hunger anymore. That's legalistic. That's striving. You have a lack mentality. Man, we got everything now. So I believe we have everything, but we got to bring balance to this teaching. But they use John 4:14. We know the story, the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus asked her for natural water. And then he says, you know, I'm going to give you spiritual water. I'm going to give you spiritual drink. And then he says to her, let me open up to that real fast. I got it right here. I got my little bookmark in it. I'm prepared. All right, here we go. So Jesus says, and this is chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. So Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. And he's speaking about natural water. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So people use this scripture and they say, see, just one drink of eternal life, just one drink of his presence, and you're forever satisfied. You're not supposed to thirst anymore. You're not supposed to hunger anymore. Well, Jesus was speaking to a woman who had like about five husbands, and she was trying to quench her thirst, trying to quench her hunger in sinful places. So Jesus wasn't saying, once you drink of me, you're not going to thirst for me ever again. He's not saying, when you drink of me, you're not going to thirst for more of God, or to experience more of God, or to be used by God. You're not. He didn't say that. He said, you're going to stop trying to seek pleasure, seek satisfaction, seek joy in all of the wrong places like you have been. Your thirst will be quenched. You'll know. Now it's actually what it's going to do. A drink is going to become a well on the inside of you now. Now you're going to have this well on the inside of you that you can drink from. This well of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You say, man, I'm hungry. Man, I'm feeling dry. Man, I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling broken. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I've got a reservoir of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I can come and drink right now by faith. I can come and I can approach his throne of grace boldly to obtain what I need right now in my life. So you just say, Jesus, you're not far. You're not distant. You live on the inside of me. I just take a drink right now, Holy Spirit. Satisfy me again. Flood me again with your goodness, with your mercy, with your kindness. Show me who you are. Hallelujah. Hunger is relevant in the new covenant still. If anyone tells you otherwise, just be nice, but close your ears. That's all. So this is just something in the church, you know, when, you know, because people talk, you got a hunger, and they make it like you're lacking something, right? And there's kind of been a little bit of a legalistic, unhealthy extreme where we're always talking about a hunger and we're not talking about the satisfaction or the good things that God wants to give us. So people have sensed that, and maybe they've been under a bondage to it. So what happens is they take one unhealthy extreme and they bring it to the opposite unhealthy extreme. That's what happens. You know, people, you know, in the Catholic Church a while ago, in the days of the Reformers with Martin Luther and John Calvin, the Catholic Church, they were making people pay for miracles. So what happens? John Calvin and Martin Luther, they didn't talk about miracles that much because they were turned off by it. So in that time, they didn't see as much in that day. We shy away from things that once brought bondage. Instead, we got to bring a balanced word. We got to speak about it from a scriptural perspective. We got to help bring truth in these areas instead of shunning it altogether. But this is something that is really important. I love that you guys were talking about the table, because this is, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me actually about the table before I came in here today. One spirit, one mind, we all have the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so hunger divorced from faith can just become mere emotionalism and striving. Hunger, everything begins with hunger in the kingdom of God. Everything begins with hunger. Everything begins with the desire. But at some point, your hunger must work with faith if you want to see a manifestation of the things of God in your life. Because you could be hungry, but never come to a place of faith, and you're just left hungry. Hunger will bring you to the table, but faith will make you grab and eat. Hunger takes you to the table. You smell it. You say, I need this food. I'm starving. I need this in my life, all these good things. And then you go to the table, but if you sit there and you think, man, is this really my food? Can I really have this food? Am I good enough for this food? Will the king actually let me have this? You must say, I'm a son and this food's for me. And you take it. I'm a daughter and this food's for me. And you take it. So hunger will take you to the table, but faith will make you seize the good things at the table. You know, so I call it the power twins, hunger and faith. We need it. We need it in our lives. If you look in your word and you say, Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. You see it and you say, yes, I want that. Yes, I desire that. But you must say, also, that's mine. I'll take it. Thank you. I'm going to start laying hands on the sick. I'm going to start praying for people. I'm going to start interceding. I'm going to start reading my word. I'm going to start doing these things. Oh, Jesus. So you see it, you want it, and by faith, you take it. You know, when I was in Mozambique with Iris, this is just a story that popped into my head during worship. Because, man, my heart, I want to be used by God. What about you guys? I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, He's always speaking, and I want to hear His thoughts. I want to operate in Him. And we were about to go to India, and we were having like a team meeting going on. And so there was like 12 of us about to go to India. So we actually met at this Indian restaurant in Mozambique. Interesting. There was a nice Indian restaurant there. And so we were by the water, and we were all like sharing our stories. We were going around the table, introducing ourselves. And I could have just sat there, and I could have just been like, oh, cool, shared my story, listened to everyone else's story. And that would have been good. We had a good time. It would have been encouraging. It would have been edifying, right? But there's something, there was a hunger on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit. And I was just sitting there listening to stories, and I thought to myself, Lord, you've got something to say right now? If you've got something to say, I want to hear it. It was that hunger that said, is there something? Is there something? And then I just quieted my heart, just stilled my heart and my mind, and I was just thinking of Jesus. And I was just sitting there listening. And then I looked at the girl who was speaking, and I saw a vision. Shoo, just quickly, with the eyes of my heart, I saw a vision. And I saw an angel standing behind her. And then as I looked into her eyes, as I saw her, it was like, like the eyes are the gateway of the soul. People say that. A lot of times I'll look in somebody's eyes and I'll just, it's like I'll see into like some depth of their heart. And I saw like her standing on top of a mountain. And I saw like a crowd of people just like at the bottom of the mountain. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't get an interpretation right away. But I just looked at her and I said, hey, listen, the Lord just spoke to me. And He said, first of all, there's an angel with you. And second of all, I saw this vision, and she started to cry. she started to weep. And I was like, what's going on, you know? And she said that this was a vision the Lord gave me since I was 15, 16 years old, and I got into a period of sin and brokenness in my life, and I just recently came back to the Lord, and he sent me to Mozambique. And I'm here in Mozambique, and I'm asking the Lord, if this vision is still for me, if you still want me to spearhead something, if you still want me to be a leader, if you still have people that you want me to lead, then just confirm this vision to me. And she said that a few days ago, somebody came and prophesied that same vision over me. She said, but I've been so broken about it that I told the Lord, just one more person, Lord. Just one more person. Just confirm it through one more person. And then it was me. I spoke it to her. How merciful is God? And if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else because he loves her, because he adores her, and he's going to get that message to her because she's called and because he wanted to speak that to her. But I want to be the person he flows through. I don't want it to be the person next to me. I don't want it to be the next guy 2 days later. I want to be the one. I want to, oh man, because there's a scripture, even the same portion of scripture where with the Samaritan woman right there in John chapter 4, where the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, do you need some food? And he goes, I've got food that you don't know about, right? And then he says, my food is to do the work of God and to do the will of God and to finish the work that he sent me to do. There's just something about when you're being used by God and you're seeing his love pour through you into someone's life and you're seeing someone blessed and you're seeing people saved. When you're in the will of God and you're doing his work, it feeds you. It nourishes you. There's a joy, right? Like when you lead somebody to the Lord, I don't know, like at one, I pray that everybody in here has led someone to the Lord or will lead someone to the Lord, because all of us, you know, not just the evangelists, but when you lead someone to the Lord or when you share a word of encouragement or when you hug somebody that needs a hug or when you pray for someone who needs prayer and you see their whole countenance change, it nourishes you, doesn't it? Man, it makes you want to do it again because you see God use little old me to be a conduit of his presence, to be a carrier of his promises and his glory, to bring fulfillment into somebody's life. And I just pray that hunger would just fill every single one of our hearts, because he promised that if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, he'll answer. If you ask, you'll receive. That is a promise straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And we're not orphans. We're not orphans. We don't lack anything. We're not trying to become something that we're not. We're discovering who he has made us to be. I am hungry to find out more of what he did in me. I am hungry to take hold of all these blessings and all these gifts that he has made accessible to me and to use them in my life. That's what I'm hungry for. I'm not hungry to become something that I'm not. I'm not hungry, you know. I'm just hungry to just drink and be blessed and to be a blessing, as because he gave me everything in him. Amen. Because you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But I don't want to just sit on those blessings and do nothing with them. Hallelujah. We are recipients of the new covenant, right? I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm whole, I'm blessed, I'm righteous, I'm holy. But we're also ministers of the new covenant, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we've become ministers of this new covenant, not according to the old way, the letter that kills, but the spirit that gives life. So a lot of churches, we like to talk about, bless me, bless me, bless me, right? You know, I'm blessed. We like to talk about the blessings. And, oh, listen, I like the blessings, okay? I'm not preaching against the blessings. We need to talk about how blessed we are, how holy we are, how righteous we are. We need to encourage each other in everything that he's given us, the healing power that's available to us. But it's always to pour out and to give to other people, to bring others, lost ones, into this fold. Hallelujah. To use the healing gifts that he's given us to break bondage off of people's lives, to show them who Jesus is. Hallelujah. So we're recipients of the blessings, and I thank God for that. But we're also those who minister the blessings and release the new covenant. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now that hunger is a gift from God. It's not difficult to attain. Like many will tell you, you can't even hunger for God apart from God. It is a divinely imparted gift from heaven. You know that no one has ever hungered for God without God causing them to hunger for him? He's the one imparting the hunger. He is the one drawing your spirit. He is the one imparting revelation. He's the one showing you your need of him, and that's why hunger fills your spirit. It is a gift from God to you. It takes God to hunger for God. He is present. He is active. He is pursuing. He is seeking you out. He is downloading things into your spirit. Because hunger is a gift from him. And I've been in several meetings. You know, I've been, you know, Iris Ministries and Christ for the Nations Institute for 3 years, and I've been to a lot of church services, a lot of meetings in the different places I've been. And, you know, as a young believer, I remember specifically there was this one guy who came in at Christ for the Nations, and he just kept saying, "You gotta get hungry." And he was just like making everyone stand up. And it was like, "Come on now, show us you're hungry." You know, and he did like a half an hour thing on it. And you felt like you just had to just do something, you know, like you're just like pumping yourself up. You're just making something happen, right? And then everyone's like, "Yeah." And then you leave like tired. You know what I'm talking about? Because you just expended like a huge amount of emotional energy into everything that just took place. And you may like, "Oh, I want to read my Bible tonight. Yeah, I want to do all this tonight." And then you go to sleep and you wake up the next day, or maybe, you know, maybe the day after, maybe it'll take a day and a half, but it wears off because it was just emotion. Okay, you can't make yourself hungry. You can't muster up hunger for God. You can't crave, let me just say this. You can't crave something you've never tasted before. Right? So the reason why I crave Chick-fil-A is because I've tasted and seen that it is good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know we really didn't have Chick-fil-A for a long time here. I was in Texas and we had it. Thank God it's kind of popping up around here because the Lord loves me and he's called me to live here. So I believe that Chick-fil-A over there in Woodbridge or Island, that was for me. I really believe that. No, but seriously, when I'm hungry and I'm driving and I pass a Chick-fil-A, my tongue, I start to salivate and I start thinking about chicken tenders, waffle fries, a sweet tea. It's just, you know, because I tasted it once and it was delicious and now I'm hungry and I want it again. So as ministers of the gospel, really our calling is to be a minister of this holy drink, to be a minister of his presence, to be a minister of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be a minister of his love, of his grace, of his encouragement, of his kindness. Because when we minister that and when we reflect that and as we show that to the world, we make them hungry for what we have. We make them hungry for what we have. We are ministers of the drink. We're ministers of his love, his goodness, his kindness. They have to taste it in our lives. They have to see it in our lives. They saw it in Jesus. They saw it in the disciples. He carried himself like no other person. He would teach, and they say, "Who is this man with authority? He doesn't have authority like the scribes." You know, the scribes don't have authority, but this man has authority. They saw it, and they said, "There's something different about him." And they could see Jesus in you. The world can see Jesus in you and say, "There's something different." You can make them hunger. They could say, "I want what this person has." So you can't tell people to hunger for something they've never tasted. You got to give them a drink. And Bill Johnson said this. Anybody know who Bill Johnson is? Yeah, I know. Come on. He's a man of God. He's like an apostle. He's such a, I know most of you have. If you haven't, read his books, watch YouTube videos, because he really, wisdom, the gift of wisdom and revelation. He'll blow your mind. You'll need a notepad, but you won't have enough time to write stuff down. He's that kind of guy. But he said, in the natural world, the more you eat, the more full you become. In the spiritual realm, the more you eat, the hungrier you are. Oh, Jesus. Someone said, "I want to be more hungry for God." Well, just keep on eating. Get your Bible in the morning and just keep on feasting. Say, "Jesus, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation," because it says the two guys on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus was with them and he was opening up the scriptures to them, their heart began to burn. So just say, "Give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation." Just keep feasting on his word. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ask him questions. Worship him. Listen to teachings. Read books. Whatever you have to do, but just keep on feeding yourself. The more you feed yourself, the more full you'll become, but also you'll get more and more hungry for the things of God. Because you know what? You'd be dumb not to want more. Because he's just that good. You say, "Oh, Jesus, I experienced you at this amazing church service," or, "Jesus, I experienced you at this conference," and we'd be silly not to say, "I want more of that in my daily life. I want that in the morning when I wake up. I want that in my car when I'm driving. I want that in the shower when I got 10 minutes of alone time because I've got kids downstairs ripping their hair out and writing on the walls or whatever. Maybe that's your 10 minutes, but I want it every moment, every hour. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. You are so good. You're better than anything this world has to offer. There's nothing like Jesus. and you will continually be hungry. You'll continually be striving. You'll continually be unhappy until you taste Jesus. It is all about Him. We don't need these formulas and these, some books are really great at making things complicated and taking your eyes off of Jesus. We need Him. We need His cross. We don't need the newest fad. If this book doesn't talk about, if some book I buy or some incredible book that's being released, this popular minister, if it doesn't show me Jesus and who I am in Him and what I can be in Him and what I can release in Him, and it just gives me 20 things that I need to do that don't look like Him, I don't want it. I'm hungry for Jesus. He is the joy of my life. He is the source of my life. He's the reason why I'm breathing. What about you? I tasted Him and I was a drug addict. I was broken. I wanted nothing to do with God. I had money. I was popular. I was in a band. I was doing pretty good. But you know, one taste of Jesus and I was just ruined for normal. I don't want it. I just want Him. And the reason why my wife and I travel all over the place, we're about to be going to the Dominican Republic. I'm going to the Dominican Republic from April 21st to the 28th, and we're doing crusades there for 6 days in 3 different cities. But I'm not doing that to somehow say, God, I'm paying you back for all you gave me. I'm not doing that to say, you know what, I want to be a good worker bee, and I want people to pat me on the back and say, good job for the kingdom. I'm doing that because His heart is souls, and because I'm not following Him from a distance. He's actually Christ in me, and He's with me, and He's my best friend, and I get to walk with Him there. I get to run with Him there, and I get to feel His joy, and I get to sense His heart of pleasure over my life. That's why I do it. And if you've never tasted the kindness of the Lord, you can taste His kindness today. And if you've never experienced the tangible love of Jesus Christ pouring into your heart, if you've never seen His kind eyes, if you've never received the revelation of His smile, you can today. Because He's a daddy that smiles over you. Just like when I see my little girl twirling around up here, and I thank God you're a man of God, and you're not just saying, put her in the back, get her out of here. I thank God. Because she's worshiping. She's anointed. On the way here, she goes, Daddy, Jesus, Jesus. And she wants to hear this song that says Jesus. There's this song we play that says Jesus all over and over again. And she grabs my book in the back. She goes, Jesus book? Jesus book? I'm like, that is a Jesus book. You're right. Anyway, when I see her dancing, my heart is happy. I rejoice over her. She brings joy. She sends waves of joy into my heart. And that's how your daddy feels when you worship Him. That's how your God feels when you hunger after Him and you desire to do the things that please His heart. And I'm hungry for more revelation. I'm hungry. I don't want to just be complacent. I don't want to just be content where I am. I'm content in the sense that I'm thankful and I'm grateful for where I am. You know, I'm happy He's given me that joy, but at the same time, I want more. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I've seen healings. I've seen miracles. I've seen God do great things, but if I was just content with that, I wouldn't pursue more, but I want to see more. And there is always more. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you've been saved for 50 years or if you've been saved for 5 minutes, there's more. And there's always going to be more. And I don't care how many times you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's a book that's open right now in my Bible. That's the reason why I'm saying that. No special reference there. But it doesn't matter how many times you read the same verse over and over again. You'll be 90 years old and He'll speak to you through it again. Because you say, I want more. You open your Bible and you say, just speak to me, Jesus. Just speak to me. And it's not always about feelings. It's not always about the emotion of things. And He will give you the emotion. He will give you the feelings. He's not against those. He's an emotional God. We're made in His image and likeness. But when you just read this Bible, you have that faith that it's feeding me, whether I feel it or not. Whether I see it or not, I'm being fed. Something's happening. I'm changing. I can't read this word. I can't spend time in the presence of God with the saints. I can't read these books that charge up your faith without changing. And you believe that. Amen. There's a cycle of hunger in the kingdom of God. I'm going to read to you Mike Bickle quote. It's out of his book, The 7 Longings of the Human Heart. I strongly recommend that book. It's a teeny little book. And it's beautiful, by the way. It's one of the books that changed my life. But Mike Bickle said this, the Creator places longings within us which can only be answered by Him and in Him. He then answers the longings in part, giving us just enough satisfaction to sustain us in the pursuit. and leaving just enough of an ache to keep us on the journey. This is deep. And then he said, the nature of being wooed demands an ebb and flow of desire and satisfaction. There's desire, and then we get filled, and there's satisfaction. And then we're just so hungry, we just got to have more because it was just that good. And there's this ebb and flow. I'm hungry, I'm filled. I'm hungry, I'm filled. I'm hungry, I'm filled. And that is the beautiful, in the realm of the spirit, this is constantly taking place in our lives. And I had a friend of mine, his name is Gabe Castaño, an amazing man of God. He actually works at Christ for the Nations Institute now in Dallas. And I went on a missions trip with him 2 years in a row, Malaysia, Thailand, Laos, and Indonesia. And he was just being really honest with me. He said, you know what, Michael, I feel like I'm hungering for God all the time, but I feel like he's not filling that hunger. He was just being honest. I don't know if anybody in this room has ever felt like that. Like, I feel hungry, but I feel like he's not coming in and filling and satisfying. And like I said earlier, I just looked at him and I said, you know that you're hungry because he's in you hungering? Because that hunger comes from the Lord. So you could actually, this is something, it was very interesting. I just said to him, you could actually be intimate with him in that hunger because it is him on the inside of you playing the strings of your heart. It is him wooing you. It is him drawing you in. And you can come to that place of faith saying, it is Christ in me doing this, and I'm intimate with you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. You're putting this hunger on the inside of me, and I just receive. Whatever you want to do, I receive. I receive. And, you know, I began to think about it. You know, if the Holy Spirit said, you know what, I'm sick of these human beings, I'm done. He would never do that. But if he said, I'm done with these guys, I'm going to retreat to heaven with the Father and the Son, and I'm just going to leave the earth all by itself, whatever. First of all, we wouldn't even exist anymore. We'd just into oblivion, right? Because he holds the world together with the power of his word. So we wouldn't even exist. But at the same time, let's just say, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, there'd be no hunger for God in the land of the living. We wouldn't hunger for him. He is our goodness. He is our nature. Everything good about us comes from him. His love, his peace, his joy. Even unbelievers that have good things in their life, that comes from God. They're made in his image and likeness too. It's just tainted, you know. It's just broken, and he wants to restore that. But everything good in this world comes from God. If he left and he stopped operating and he stopped pursuing and he stopped dealing with humanity, we'd be the most toxic, demonic, God haters. That we want nothing to do with him. So the little bit of hunger that you have is just enough to plug you into what you need. You need to believe that hunger comes from him. Man, I feel hungry. Man, I feel thirsty. Or maybe you say, I don't feel hungry for God. I don't really even feel thirsty for God. Just keep on feasting on him. Just keep feeding on him. Just keep getting in this atmosphere. Go to a conference, read a book, grab your Bible, whether you feel it or not, and just keep reading it. I'm telling you, in even the most meager sense of I want God, I'm telling you, it's going to plug you in to exactly what you need. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to get into what I believe the Lord really downloaded during worship time. My question is, what are you feeding yourself on now in your life? Because this is something that was spoken to me when I first got saved, and it's resonated with me, and this is something that I really have seen to be true. You will hunger for what you feed on. You will hunger for what you feed on. So there's nothing wrong with Netflix. There's nothing wrong with Hulu. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. There's nothing wrong with fantasy football. There's nothing wrong, you know, inherently with these things. They're innocent. It's good. But it's the absorption that takes place. It's the idolatry of it. When we stop reading the word, we stop spending our time with the Lord. We stop hungering after his presence, and every moment of every hour, we just take our phone and check out what's going on Facebook. And I'm guilty of it too, all right? I'm preaching to myself right now because a lot of what I do is letting people know things on Facebook and stuff like that. So the Lord's rebuked me a few times, and I could tell you some stories. But this is real. You know, we'll just binge a show on Netflix for hours and hours and hours. And when's the last time we prayed? When's the last time we just feasted at his table? When's the last time? Do you remember when you first fell in love? Right? All you wanted to do is just, the first thought in your mind when you woke up was, Jesus, thank you for this day. Now, the first thing we do when we wake up is say, let's check my emails. Let's see what this person's saying on Instagram. Oh, amen. Praise God. Preachers say like, right? You know? But we have access to the greatest revelation that ever is on the face of the earth right now on YouTube. You could look up anointed preachers. You could say amen and like, but you know, you don't think about it after the like. right? You don't let it penetrate your heart. You don't say, Jesus, that was really good. What are you saying to me in this? Right, we're just so used to, because our entertainment age, our technological age, and it's great, man. My wife and I, we do a show called Awaken Live on Facebook. I don't know if some of you guys have ever seen it, but you could follow us on social media. We speak to just ministers and amazing people. Like in New Jersey, I'm speaking to someone who maybe is in California, and we're doing an interview, and it's going to the whole entire world. Like people from England and Asia and Africa are watching, and I'm just streaming from New Jersey. So with technology, we're discipling nations. You're pouring into nations. And we're praying, and there's words of knowledge and prophetic words that you're giving a word in New Jersey or California, and it's being delivered to someone in Pakistan or whatever, and they needed it, or some other country. Like, that's amazing. So I'm not against technology. We need to use everything that God's given us to share this gospel, to disciple people, and to share the kingdom, right? But it's just, man, how much of God do you want is all I'm saying. He'll give you as much as you want. He's not going to force himself upon you. And I'm not speaking to a church that has no spiritual hunger. I know you do, and I felt it in the atmosphere. But my encouragement would be, if there's something that's just absorbing your time, if there's something that's just taking away from who you used to be, or the things that you loved doing, or your personal time with the Lord, or whatever it may be, just say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to give this up right now. It's not just fasting food, right? You can fast other things. You can fast other things. I had a friend of mine, and I'm not against fasting food. I believe in that, so don't. You kind of have to do disclaimers with things sometimes because you never know what someone's going to hear. I believe in fasting food. But my friend, who came from a really legalistic place, struggled with self-condemnation a lot. So he was fasting for all the wrong reasons, and he did it once a week, and he said he got nothing from it. For like 6 months, he fasted, and he couldn't get anything from it. And then he began to think, you know what? I am spending a lot of time playing video games. I am spending a lot of time on Netflix and on social media, and maybe I can give those things up and fast those things. And he said that the Lord began to revolutionize his life, because instead of spending time on all these innocent things that just consumed his life, instead of doing that, he actually was just in the Word instead, and he worshiped instead, and he spent some time with the Lord instead. Not that he never put on the TV, or not that he ever put on a movie, but he just took a serious step back from it for a season, and these truths revolutionized his life and made him the person that he is today. You know, like, it's just that simple sometimes. It's just that simple. So just feed yourself on these beautiful, on the Word of God, on his presence. Get alone with him again. Ask him to ignite that fire in your heart again if you've lost it. Ask him. And this is something, okay, during worship. Oh, amen. During worship, I just sensed, like, I saw in the spirit just fire in this place. And I heard the Lord say, I'm turning the heat up. For all of you. This is everybody here in this church. None of you are exempt. He said, I'm turning the heat up. And, you know, it's Matthew, in the book of Matthew, I think it's the first chapter, where John the Baptist, he said, you know, I'm not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that. But he's like, you know, but Jesus, he's going to come. I'm going to get out of the way, and Jesus is going to come, and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to baptize you in fire. And we talk a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we don't always talk about the baptism of fire. But I truly believe that the baptism of fire is not judgment. People always think fire and judgment. The baptism of fire is the intense, passionate love of Jesus Christ that burns up things in our life that shouldn't be there, so we can shine and we can be free and we can be empowered. It's cleansing. It burns away the dross, all the things that have been hanging on that aren't you. These things, you know, there's areas of our life that don't reflect who we are in the spirit, that don't reflect our identity. And it's judgment on those things. Yeah, it's your time's done. I'm burning you up. And it's the love of God, your bridegroom, that is passionate about you being free, passionate about you being happy, being full of joy, passionate about you being who you're called to be in this world for his kingdom. He's saying, you know what? I'll baptize you in the spirit. I'm going to baptize you with fire. I'm going to burn all of that stuff up. In the book of Revelation, it says that his eyes were like flames of fire. That wasn't him saying, oh, I'm going to judge these people, and I'm going to get them all. Those eyes were, oh, I can't wait to cleanse the earth of all the unrighteousness. I can't wait to have a world that is filled with righteousness, with my sons and my daughters ruling and reigning. I can't wait to have a house full. I can't wait to see you free. I love you, and I love you so much that I'm not going to keep you the way you are. Come to my fire. Yield to my fire. Yield to who I am. And I felt like the Lord, he was telling me that there's people in this church that have prayed, do whatever you want in my life. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way in me. Take me anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you ask me to do. And this is, I'm going to take out my phone because I wrote exactly. I want to get it word for word with what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me. He said, you've prayed, have your way, but are you ready to give up your comfort zones? Are you ready to give up your fears, your doubts, your insecurities, your brokenness, the things in your life that bring you a false sense of comfort? Because when he comes, it's not because he's mean. It's not because he's angry. It's because he knows what's best for you. And you pray, use me. I want to speak to people. I want to share this gospel. I want to be everything that you've called me to be. And that requires stepping outside of your comfort zone. That requires letting go of things that haven't been so nice to you, haven't been so kind to you, things that have kept you trapped in a box and out of God's will. Right outside of your comfort zone is the will of God and the power of God to catapult you into destiny. Right outside of that comfort zone. And it's not easy at first. You have to make a determined, there has to be a determined yes and a determined step of obedience. But as you do, you see him come through. You see the breakthrough. It's like there was a woman here and she was sharing. She was in the worship team. I'm sorry, what's your name? Tracy. You were sharing how the Lord wanted you to pray for somebody when you were out. God, he loves to shake things up. Listen, guys. The life of the Spirit isn't a comfortable life. I don't know how many people, okay, maybe you've heard it preached before. I know I have. They say, once you come to Jesus, all your problems are going to go away. Right? There's just like, man, peace and joy abounding. All your problems are going to go away. It's going to be a cakewalk. He's going to fulfill all your dreams, every dream that you have. You know what? He asked you to crucify your dreams and take up his. And it's amazing. The dreams that were his, he'll revive in you. But he doesn't even want those dreams to be idolatrous. He doesn't want it all to be about your dream. He wants it to be all about him because he's enough. And then the dreams that you lay down, that he says, okay, that was my dream. I asked you to lay it down like Abraham and Isaac. That was my miracle child that I gave to you. I'm really not going to kill it, but I still asked you to lay it down. Sometimes he'll ask you, lay down that dream. And it was a God dream in the first place. But he wants to see your heart. He doesn't say, indulge yourself. There's no cross to carry, and I'll follow you. Did Jesus say that? I kind of got that wrong, right? I think I didn't say that right. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And the amazing thing is, it's the most rewarding life. It's the most amazing life. It's the most incredible life. Once you taste of that life, you won't want any other life. You won't want any other life. But he gave you the comforter for a reason, because you're not always going to be comfortable. He's going to stretch you just a little bit. And we pray these dangerous prayers. Come and have your way. Take me wherever you want to go. And then he starts putting on your heart. Pray for that person at the store. And you're like, yeah, but don't they have the flu? Aren't they sick? You're saying, but praise God, you stepped out of your comfort zone. You had a determined yes. Three-letter word that'll change your life when it comes to God. Y-E-S. Yes. And you hugged her. Glory to God, she cut out of Asonde. But you know what? The fire of God just burned up all that doubt. It's amazing. When the Lord asks you to go outside of your comfort zone, to step into his will, there's things that we didn't realize were in us. We didn't realize that kind of doubt was in us. We didn't realize those fears were in us. You know? He asked you to give $1,000 away. And that we don't realize, oh my God, that's got a little bit of a bond. Like, there's something. Am I serving mammon a little bit? Because do I not trust you with it? You realize that my faith needs to grow. And he's smiling the whole time. He's like, you know I'm going to provide. You better give that. You better give that. You know I'm going to provide. I want to do something. But so many times we just silence it. And then we'll just have to go through the test again. How does that? But all of this is for your good. We think like, oh, God, he's killing me. I'm in the fire. But you asked for the fire. And I feel like there's people in here who've asked for the fire. You've asked him to turn it up. And he's saying, now give that $1,000. Or he's saying, now pray for that person who looks very, very sick at the store and give him a hug. Or you know what? Serve your heart out. Be committed to the worship team. Be committed to this form of ministry, whether you feel it or not, or whatever. He's going to ask you to do things that are uncomfortable, and it's amazing. As you do it, the fire of his love is just going to burn up the doubts, the unbelief, the fears, the insecurities in our lives, and we're going to step into a greater realm. We're going to step into a more anointed place. We're going to see his kingdom flow through us in greater dimensions and ways. I'm not promising you that all your problems are going to go away when you say yes to Jesus. I'm saying problems are going to come, but you're going to have the most rewarding life, the most overcoming life, and you're going to have a testimony that is going to rock people, that is going to release his kingdom. Oh, man, and you're going to make people so hungry for the Lord. I'm telling you. My wife and I, we took a step of faith a year and a half ago where I quit my job and we just stepped into full-time ministry. And we had a baby and we're believing God for a home. That did not seem like the wise choice in the natural. It seemed like we were going in the step in the wrong direction, right? But the Lord spoke it, and he confirmed it, and we did it, and it was very uncomfortable. And I went through about the past year and a half has been like the fire, and he turned it up. But you know what? I feel like I've come out the other side, and I'm more anointed, more full of faith, more expectant than I've ever been in my life. He's going to ask you to do wild things sometimes. That's just what he's going to do. He's going to challenge you. He loves to challenge you. Because he wants you to see his faithfulness. So many people want miracles, but they don't put themselves in a position where they need one. Sit on that for a second. Whew. We want miracles. We want to have the testimony. Someone's behind the mic and they say, and God did this for me and God did that for me. And we say, man, I want a cool testimony too. But we don't go out of our way to be put in a position where we need one. Man, we want to see people healed, but we're not praying for people. We want to see finances come in, but we're not dumping out our pockets to bless people around us. Oh, man. God is so good, and he's so faithful. And I just feel like, man, this year he's turning up the heat on you guys, and it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so amazing. And you're going to learn how to depend on him more than you ever learned in your life. And you're going to learn how to receive his miracles more than you ever have. You're going to see the most amazing things you've ever seen. You're going to be challenged. You're going to cut the head off all these different, oh man, demons that have tried to attack you, intimidation, fear, insecurities, the lies the enemy has tried to bring to you. They're going to be completely under your feet this year as you take up faith, as you speak the word of God, as you refuse to be put in a box, as you refuse to settle and stay where you're at. These things are going to be completely crushed under your feet. Paul said it, may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. We could let the enemy beat us up or we could beat him up. That's it. He'll beat us up all day. So many Christians die without inheriting their promises. So many Christians go and be with the Lord without stepping into their promised land, without being free from fears and shame and guilt and condemnation. We could live our lives below the inheritance that he has bought for us, or we could have a determined no against everything Jesus died for us to be free from, and we could say yes to everything Jesus has for us. He's not going to give you what you don't want, you know? He's a gentleman, and he'll crash in if you ask him. Don't get me wrong. He'll crash in if you ask him, but he's a gentleman, and he wants your yes. He wants to see your heart. So anyway, maybe we don't need the whole team up here, but maybe someone on the piano or something like that. And let us all stand up here for a minute. How can we go about and do this? I really want to pray for everybody in here. Let me think. What do you guys usually do during ministry time? Because I know. Is that you guys doing that? Okay. I think that might be a good idea. I think that's a good idea. But Lord, we just thank you right now. Let us just set our mind on Christ. And you know, there's something going on the inside of you guys right now. This word resonated with you. I said a lot of things, so everyone needs something different here in this place. But I know the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to you right now on something. He's highlighting something. You've got a feeling in your heart that you just can't shake. You have an idea in your head that you can't stop thinking about, whatever it is. That's the Holy Spirit. He's highlighting some things. And we just ask you, Jesus, you're the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and you're the one that baptizes with fire. It's not me. It's not any man. You are the one that baptizes. It is you. And we just get out of the way like John the Baptist. We just get out of the way and say, I'm not even unworthy. I'm not even worthy to untie your sandal. But you chose to use us. You love us. You died for us. But you baptize right now in the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'm going to go around and I'm going to pray. I feel this strong in my heart. And I believe there's even a prophetic anointing here in this place. I may not prophesy over everybody. But as I feel led in my heart, I will release a word over you. But you don't even need my hand. You don't even need my prophetic word, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to each of you individually right now, and He's more important than me. So, I am turning up the heat, my beloved. I am yours and you are mine. It is time to step in. Do not be ankle deep. Do not be knee deep. Do not just settle for waist deep, but come in and immerse yourself in my presence. I have bought all of these delicacies for you. It's paid for in full. Now come and eat. Do not be scared. Do not doubt me. Do not let your brokenness, do not let your insecurities hold you back any longer, because I want to pour out my spirit and I want to pour out my fire. Just say yes to me, beloved. Even right now, let us just, and don't say it if you don't mean it, okay? I'm not after hands being raised saying, yo, that was... If He's speaking to you that you need to say yes in a certain area of your life, there's something He's highlighting, just say yes to Him right now. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, I'll start sharing the gospel with those around me. You've been speaking to me about it. Yes, Jesus. I'll start giving more, God. There's been a little bit of a bondage there. Yes, Jesus. I'll do it because I trust you. Yes, Jesus. I'll pray for my family and my friends more, because you've been putting this in my heart and I haven't been doing it. I've been comfortable. But yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I've been consumed with these innocent things in life, but I haven't been hungry for you. Yes, I'm going to put this aside to seek you and find you. I believe there's somebody in here who is, the Lord's highlighting unforgiveness right now. That could be a serious hindrance. And maybe that's why you're in this state of mind and in this place where you're yearning for more, but you feel like you just can't get it. Well, the Lord's just highlighting right now, if there is someone in here, I'm not going to tell you to come up here to the front. What I'm going to say is just release that right now in Jesus' name. Use the name. If it's your mother, if it's your sister, if it's someone at work, if it's your boss, I forgive so-and-so. Just say it. You might not feel it right away. The feelings might not accompany your confession right now, but by faith, you speak it, because the Lord's highlighting that right now. Just pour out your forgiveness and your grace, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I wanted to pray for you. In Jesus' name, I just thank you for your fire right now, Lord. I thank you that she is filled with your light, that she is filled with your life. And I just pray a breakthrough, God, a breakthrough that she's crying out for, that she's longing for. In Jesus' name, may you come with your fire. May you come with your power. In Jesus' name. I see you filled with faith. I see you filled with life, expectancy. And the Lord's going to meet you in that place this year in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping Him. Let Him minister to you in Jesus' name. Thank you. The Lord is tenderizing your heart. He is softening your heart. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to feel His presence. He wants to overwhelm you this year in Jesus' name. He wants to show you His goodness and His faithfulness over your life. Things you've been praying for, things you've been asking for, and He heard you. He knows it. Seek first Him and His kingdom, and the rest shall be added. Fire in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord sees your hunger. He sees your hunger. He sees.